Philippians chapter 4. Some of the words of these songs today have just been right in the word and in the message. And I like that. I like that when God just confirms. And he knows how to do that, doesn't he? Now let's look to the Bible again and see God speaking. Verse number 18. But I have all and abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But here it is, my God. Fit right in there, didn't it? Shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a blessing. Let the church say amen. Father, add that blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach with us, saith the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're dealing with joy in the book of Philippians in this wonderful letter in the word of God. Joy from a single mind, joy from a submissive mind, joy from a spiritual mind, and then in closing, joy from a secure mind. How many of you have come to grips with the fact that the mind is often the most difficult thing to secure? Speaking to my class this morning, and it's not that difficult to secure your phone or to secure your information. I mean, there are people that can breach that security, but setting up a pretty credible security for the most valuable things in our lives is not that difficult. But my, oh my, securing that mind. I mean, you can keep people out your house. You can keep people out your car. You can do your best job and a pretty good job of keeping people out your business. But it's hard to keep mess out your mind. And so Paul is reminding the church that in order to have and maintain a secure mind, you're going to have to do it in a spiritual way. You're not going to have a secure mind on accident. You're not going to have a secure mind arbitrarily. You're not going to have a secure mind wandering aimlessly. You will have a secure mind intentionally, on purpose. Now hear me now. We've heard through the auditorium tonight the testimony of God's people. You cannot control what happens to you. You cannot orchestrate your circumstances. You cannot decide what kind of news you're going to get tomorrow. But what you can do is walk with the Lord in such a way that your mind is secure. Watch this now. That unforeseen and unexpected adverse conditions, negative circumstances that pop in out of nowhere, unannounced, but things that are unaltered, if they enter into the life of a believer with a secure mind, listen to me now, bad things happening to you don't have to derail you. You can get up tomorrow, regardless of what you face in your life, and decide, I still have joy, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. So we're dealing with this secure mind. We spent several weeks talking about the power of correct thinking. It pays to think right. And then we continued with the power, if you would, of consistent thanksgiving. It pays not only to think right, but it pays to thank right. Anybody catch that? To think right and to thank right. And we live in a day and age where people have grown unthankful. By the way, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And one of the signs of the end times was unthankfulness. And I tell you what, you have to pay people to say thank you. I mean, you have to lecture people to appreciate you. You have to remind them. You have to rehearse this thing. And they're saying, why you got to go through this with me all the time? You keep telling me. Because you don't seem to understand what being thankful is. And sometimes you have to remind people of what God brought them from to remind them that it wouldn't kill them to say thank you. Now, Paul says, be thankful. Be thankful. Be grateful. Realize you're a blessed people. Not only realize that you're blessed, but communicate your gratitude for those blessings. So he dealt with this correct thinking and this consistent thanksgiving, their grateful condition, their godly contentment. I've learned how to be content. By the way, we're talking about Thanksgiving. And by the way, Thanksgiving is an avenue towards contentment. I know sometimes we separate and compartmentalize issues in our Christian life, but God is teaching us how to be content, and we're learning how to be content, and learning is much more conducive in the life of a believer that's thankful. If you say, I'm trying to be content, but I don't seem to be learning it much. Be thankful, and your thankfulness will provide the studiousness that you need to learn contentment. So, if you're not satisfied with your life, thank God for what you have, and it will usher you closer to contentment. Amen. Amen. It will snuff out disgruntlement. Amen. And it will downplay the need and the desire to complain. Listen, complaints and gratitude don't coexist. You can't be thanking God and cursing God at the same time. So sometimes we've got to make a choice. We have to mount the platform of our own will and say, I am making a choice to be thankful. And by the way, just like there is always something to complain about, there's always something to be thankful about. You just got to decide, I'm going to look at it. I'm going to focus on it. I'm going to be excited about it. And it's amazing how you start being thankful about good things. It changes your mind. It changes your spirit. It changes your attitude. It changes your mood. Come on now. I'm in a bad mood today. Just break out into some Thanksgiving. Amen. I'm having a bad day. Just break into some Thanksgiving. Things aren't going well. Just break into some Thanksgiving. Get stuck in traffic. Some of you 95 Southers are going to be in that traffic in a little bit. And I'm going to be right with you headed down to North Carolina. I was just thinking about y'all. And I said, I am y'all. And anyway, we'll be heading down that road in just a little bit. Hopefully it's died down. But how many of you know there's no necessarily guaranteed die down time on 95? It's the first thing he's going to burn up in the new heaven and the new earth. I-95. It can't be a good heaven with I-95. But anyway, you're going to get on that road. You're stuck in traffic. First instinct, complain. Why they doing this road work? Why that car driving like that? Why them truckers? Isn't it amazing? The worst truckers on the road are the ones with something on the back that says, how's my driving? It's almost like, you're going to drive that bad, don't put a number on the back. And you start to complain, and they're running me off the road, and it's too loud, and it's late, and now it's raining, and gas is not right, and you should have put gas. I thought you put gas. And if you're like me, you hear the kids break open a bag of chips, and you hear, and that, you know what that's the sound of? Crumbs disseminating. And I'm saying to yourself, I just can hear, oh, Daddy, there are no crumbs here. I can hear them. I remember telling my wife one time, they can eat, but they must open their mouth. You must put it in their mouth. They must close it once it's in, and they must not open until it's swallowed. Amen. And she thought that's a little extreme. Yeah, it takes to be extreme to keep a clean car. Amen. But you find yourself complaining and this and that and the other. Next thing you get there, I'm tired, and it's been a long day, and all these situations. And before long, you're having a pity party. Nobody's there with you, but you're having a pity party all by yourself. And after a while, you start sucking people into your pity party, and you convince yourself that you're living a bad life and things aren't well and things aren't going good. I'm saying break out of that mess. I know you already scheduled for that party the last 3 hours. Cut it short and determine there's some good things going on. I got a car. I got gas. I got a family. I had a good day at church. I'm in a place where God's people are going through trials, and not on your own, not on their own. I'm in a place where God still shows up Sunday. People decide to visit. Folks get saved. Lives get changed. Kids are in place. Folks are being united. God is healing people. Isn't that something to be thankful about? I was sitting on the stage a few moments ago listening to Nathaniel sing and thinking about the goodness of God. I looked to my right and I saw Shazid up there singing the song with Nathaniel. I thought, good night. What's there to complain about? I'm in a church on a Sunday night where a young man that grew up Muslim got saved, and on a Sunday night he's mouthing the words, I just call you mine. I mean, if we're not careful, we will give the devil way too much spotlight. We're blessed. So he says, I'm going to be thankful. The glorious confidence is I can do all things. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Yeah, content people can. Carnal people can't do all things, but content people can. So you got to be content to be trying to claim verse 13. And then number four, gracious commendation. He begins to tell the church, as we heard him do last week, good job, church. Good job. I want to commend you from jail for being a blessing to the man of God, he says. And he says, while you were being a blessing to me, everything I did for God was fruit to your account. Aren't you glad you don't have to do everything in the Christian life to be a part of it? You don't have to be a missionary to help support missions. Amen. Some of our folks in the building today have grown up in years. They can't climb up steps and knock a door. They can't get on a van and go on a blitz. Listen to me. Some of these folks can't teach a two-year-old class. Some folks physically are not able to do this. I'll tell you what they can do. They can pray. They can pray. And even if they can't get on their knees, God can hear them without being on their knees. Amen. They can pray. And I'm glad that there are ways to help promote the work of God without actually doing it. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do anything. But it does mean that God blesses us when we do what we can. Fruit to your account. Last, let me give you one thought tonight, and then I'll get on I-95. He speaks in verse number 18, what I call a grand composition. A grand composition. Paul, what are you composed of? All. Now, notice the progression in Philippians chapter 4. Anybody looking? In verse number 13, I can, what? Do all. Amen. Now look at verse number 18. I what? Have all. Look. When you get your mind off of you and get your mind on God, come on, that's when you can start using the word all. Wait a minute, Paul, you're in jail. Yeah, but I can do all. Wait a minute, you've been abased. You've been wrongfully accused. You've been falsely punished. Yeah, I'm in a prison cell, but I have all. Listen to me. If you're locked up, locked down, locked in, and locked out, and you have all, then obviously all is not referring to money. It's not even referring to physical freedom. He didn't have that, but he had all. All what? All he needed. Amen. You know why he had all he needed? He had Christ. And Christ is all and in all. Listen to the real fullness that Paul said. I have all. I am full. Wow, Paul, how can you be full? Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. That the Christian life is so much about perspective. Now you're gonna hear me say this 1,000 times, and I'm gonna say it till Jesus comes back, because it's something we'll have to continue to contend with. Do not side with the enemy on yourself. Do not side with the enemy on yourself. He's a liar. You heard people say tonight, the devil was telling me, and the devil wants me. Do not say, listen, you're not gonna keep him from lying, but you don't gotta agree with him. And he's telling you, you don't have this. Listen to me. The Christian life is about perspective. Listen, I don't have as much money as I want to have. I don't have as much time as I'd like to have. I don't have as much things as I'd like to have. But let me tell you something. When it comes to what I'm supposed to have and what I need to have and who I have all. Here's what he says. I'm full. I'm full. My mom says that to me all the time. She said, I read something, I heard something, I saw somebody. She said, I just got full. I just got full. Now let me ask you a question. When you do get more of that other stuff, why is it that you still aren't full? Yeah. I'm full. In other words, I got a tank and he's filled it up. Listen to me. When you pull up to the gas station and your car says full, you know what it's not saying? It's not saying that you got all the gas at the station. It's saying you got all the gas your tank needed. Amen. So stop looking at your bank account going, I'm not full. There's more. No. You may not have all the money they have, but you got all you need in your tank. I'm full. And God's the only person that can make you full.
Now listen to me. Emptiness in the Christian life will make you restless. Amen. It will tone down your spiritual sensitivity. You will lack discretion and discernment, and you will go down avenues where you don't belong. You will trespass into enemy territory that's off limits, chasing stuff, trying to fulfill what only God can satisfy. He says, I've got real fullness. I've also got resonating favor. I'm sorry, resonating fruitfulness. Here's what I like about Paul. I have all. Now, if you've been like most Christians, you know what he would say after that? I'm good. I've been saved. I've been serving God. I've been in every ministry. I've served in every capacity. I've exercised every spiritual activity. I have all. But he didn't stop there. Watch this. And abound. Come on. Watch this. Here's what he's saying. I'm in a good place spiritually, but guess what? I'm still going after it. I'm still growing. I'm winning souls, but guess what? I'm trying to win more. I'm giving, but I'm trying to give more. I'm growing, but I'm trying to grow more. I'm glowing, but I'm trying to glow more.
I have received favor. Well, here came Epaphroditus on your behalf. Bring in the things you sent. Wow.
Here's what he's saying. I'm full. Praise his name. But I'm fruitful. I'm not content with being full, so I'm continuing to be fruitful. But here's what he says. Even though I'm full and I'm fruitful, I'm still on the receiving end of favor. Now maybe you don't get there, but listen. Do you ever find yourself looking at God going like, God, I'm so full, I could give you a high five and kick the devil in the same swing. And then on top of that, God blesses you again. He's like, it's almost like Paul saying, if I was done right here in this cell and I never did anything else, I've died full. And yet, even after all the blessings God gives me, here comes Epaphroditus. Showing up with something. Do y'all feel like blessing after blessing keep on following you? Some of you getting quiet. Maybe you just like some of you going, send them my way, man. I'm not going to spend time tonight telling you how to figure out how to be blessed more. I'd rather spend my time telling you, figure out how to get a perspective on how blessed you already are. And there are countries that are far less blessed than we are, but they're far more appreciative. Yeah. See, there's a difference between loved and spoiled. Love means you're on the receiving end of favor and you're thankful for it. Spoiled means you got good stuff and you're entitled to it. Amen. And I'm telling you, we got spoiled Christians. Some of us are just downright brats. God has been so good to us, we think he owes us. And when he decides to say no, we throw a tantrum. Because he said yes so many times, we think he has to. God never had to tell you yes. Even when you asked him to save you, he didn't have to, but he sent Jesus to provide the means so he could say yes.
I'm closing. I have a relishing father. Here's what happens, church. When you did right, and you were a blessing to me, two things. You gave a sweet presentation to God. I think about the world today. And every once in a while I get mad about stuff that people do. And here's what my heart says. Why would anybody that loves God do something like that? You know what I'm saying? Or when somebody, you ever have somebody do something to you and you think, That's men do that. We just grunt and grumble. You and ladies have men that when they just mumble sometimes, you can't tell what they're saying. You know, that's a man thing. We just we have words to say, but there's no way we can get them all together, so we just make sound. You look like you mumble, I tell you. I just look, I could see you. And everybody probably goes, just leave him alone, leave him alone. Come back in an hour, he'll be done mumbling. And you get frustrated at people, and then I stop in the middle of my frustration. Here's what I say to myself. If it frustrates me this much, what does it do to him? My flesh, my sinful self got the nerve to be perturbed at people doing wrong. And I'm a wrongdoer myself. So I go, I wonder how many times God looks down at these people he created, us people, and goes, I've done all this for them, and this is what they do for me. And God must, listen to me, God must look down at planet Earth, not just the world itself, but I'm talking about Christianity. And he must look down at what Christians offer to him. And often he must say, that stinks. Well, that worship stunk. That little prayer right there, that stunk. You call that devotions? That stunk. Wait. They sang four stanzas. You sang about five words out of four stanzas, and you're supposed to be here to worship. That stunk. Come on now. I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about we send up some rank stuff. But Paul looks at the people of God and says, well, you were doing what God told you to do on my behalf. You were being a blessing to someone else. He said, I'm going to tell you, this was a time God went, that smells good. Hey, sweet priest, listen, I want my life to present something to God that smells good. A sweet presentation, and watch this now, a sure pleasure. And an odor that smells sweet, but something that's well pleasing to God. I close with this thought. Your life this week, my life this week. Let's narrow down the complexity of our lives. We're complex people, aren't we? Come on, let's be honest. People are saying, the Christian life is so difficult. No, we're difficult. Okay, we're difficult, we're complex, we're moody, we're all over the place, we're up and down, we're fickle. And God's got to deal with all of us. Lord have mercy. But let's just narrow down this past week, because if we all got up and talked about our weeks, it would take so long, I'd never get to 95. So let's just narrow down our weeks, all of us, from this Sunday to this past Sunday. Let's narrow it down this way. Did your life please God? Well, Pastor, I mean, somebody cut me off, and somebody didn't call me, and somebody forgot my birthday, and somebody burnt my steak, and okay, I understand. Tell it to somebody. Call the department. I'm asking you, though, did your life please God? Isn't that, if we narrowed our goal in life down to pleasing him, don't you think we'd be much more concentrated on what we should be doing for him? We're so busy trying to please us, we miss pleasing him. That the decisions you made this week, please God. The time you spent, the conversations you had, the post, the people, the money you spent. I know you're thinking, well, how much did it cost? How much was, I mean, who has a better price? That's secular thinking. We've got, you know, out in the world, we got to figure out who's got the best price. In the Christian life, we got to figure out, does it please God? My response to someone else's criticism, did it please God? The words that I engaged with those that I love, did they please God? Here's what he's saying. You were a blessing to me. And by being a blessing to me through your giving as a church, this was a guaranteed opportunity to please God. Well, Paul, I guess you're telling me that if I really want to please God, I better do things that I'm sure will please him. You know what that says to me? If there's a doubt, don't mess with it. You know, I'm not sure if this is pleasing to him or not. An odor of a sweet smelling savor to God, an offering well pleasing to the Lord. Leave with this tonight. There'll be a lot of complicated things between this Sunday and next Sunday. And we could all gripe about them for a long time. Leave with this thought. Determine this week, no matter what comes your way, I'm going to please God. Father, help us. We love you and we thank you. You've been good to us. And we got a lot of stuff we'd like to change. Oh, my soul, sure. But what about pleasing you? What about pleasing you? May God help us. Continue to bless, guide, and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. Standing together.